Good morning, Oasis Community Church. He's risen. It's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to party together this morning because we've got a reason to party and a reason to celebrate. I know this for some that have been in our church for a number of years. This Easter Sunday looks very different to how it has done previously. We'd normally be in a big field with a marquee, and we've been there for a few hours setting everything up to have a big celebrate Easter event. Well, we're still going to celebrate Easter this morning. We're going to sing his praises. We're going to gather around the world. We're going to enjoy what this day means. So can I encourage you, turn up your volume. Let's get the neighbours hearing as we rejoice and celebrate everything of what this morning is about. So Father God, we want to thank you that we can gather together. As we were praying a few moments ago, your church isn't online. Your church is a body, and it is physical and it is active just like you are. But we're gathering online right now to celebrate all that you have done. So Spirit of God, will you fall as we lift up your praises? Will you fall? Will you send your fire and infuse us and give us the passion to live this life that you've purchased for us? So we're going to celebrate and we're going to rejoice. Alan, will you lead us in worship as we sing together?
Hi, guys. Hope you're all doing well this morning. So we're going to start now. And here we go. You ready to celebrate? Sun was dead, the savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Overcome, and we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing praise you, you reign forever. King Jesus, you reign. Death is defeated. You've overcome the grave. Hallelujah. My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body brown and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance here by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name. Heaven rose again. Oh, your sting. The angels roar for Christ the King, for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. He shall return, oh praise the Lord. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise your name. Conquering Son, endless is the victory thou, O death, has won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave close where thy body lay. Conquering Son, endless is the victory thou, O death, has won. Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and let a church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For her Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the thou, O death, has won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is naught without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless life. Lead us in thy triumph to thy home above. Thine be the
thank you, Lord. We want to thank you that with you, death has been defeated. Our sin remains in the grave. Father, we want to thank you that today we celebrate. I always rejoice on these sort of days where I have to cast my mind to think that we are celebrating this day with countless people across the planet from the break of dawn to the setting of the sun. We are lifting his praises, and the world might be in lockdown, but our praises aren't in lockdown. Our praises are lifting high and celebrating and rejoicing all that God is doing. And can I encourage you, church, he's still moving. He's still working, even through the circumstances and the situations we find ourselves. I want to encourage you. I just feel some, maybe you're discouraged because you think maybe God's not doing what he could through you. I want to encourage you this morning and say, even in lockdown, his power in you is greater than that which is in the world. And it is reaching our neighbors. Conversations that we're having about people that are impacted by this virus, and little words that we say to our neighbors, and the spirit of joy that we give off to those around us. It says something about our God. It says something about Jesus. So we rejoice this morning and we celebrate who he is and who we are in him. Now, I'm really encouraged that we're part of not just one church in our town. We're part of some churches in our town that are celebrating this morning, but we're also part of a wider movement called Elim. And we've got a video right now from the leader of our movement, Chris Cartwright, who's just going to encourage us and build us up. This is being shown across the Elim movement this morning in all the churches, direct from him to us to encourage us this Easter. So let's watch this together.
Hi everyone. I bring you greetings this Easter weekend from Elim's National Leadership Team. We're praying for you during this time of profound challenge and crisis. This Easter, perhaps more than ever in our lifetime, around the world, the church turns and returns to God's extraordinary, amazing, and unrestrained love for people everywhere. To the Father who loves us so much that he gave Jesus his only Son. To Jesus, who came down into our world, who lived like us in full humanity, in lockdown, in a human body. To Jesus, who gave himself to die for our sins so that we can live eternally for him and with him. We gather over Easter weekend proclaiming that Easter changes everything, that Jesus died to deal with sin, sickness, and death, and that he rose again and is risen from the dead to give eternal life to all who believe and commit themselves to him. Over these past few weeks, we've had to adapt in so many ways to radical and necessary changes to us to minimize the spread of the coronavirus and to seek to keep one another safe. So many of our churches have responded creatively and positively to moving church worship services online and finding so many ways to stay connected. Many have faced real challenges in maintaining critical services in their community, care and outreach. Thank you so much for all you've been doing, that your dedication and sacrifice to maintain our commitment to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and also our commitment to those in particular need all around us in our wider community. Thanks to all our pastors, local church leaders, and volunteers across every part of church life and ministry. Special thanks to our chaplains and first responders who are serving on the front line in some of the most difficult circumstances of all. In our wider community, we want to continue to appreciate the key workers, doctors, nurses, carers, teachers, delivery drivers, refuse collectors, supermarket workers, and so many others who are taking the extra strain right now on behalf of us all. The real message of Easter has always been centered on the cross. I was struck again by familiar words from Hebrews 12 that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. To endure means to suffer for a greater purpose, to go through something hard and difficult and painful and costly. Endurance athletes know all about keeping on way beyond what they feel that their body can take, but for the prize that is ahead. Jesus endured the cross, and he took the pain and the shame for us, for the joy of bringing us to the Father. That's why this Easter, as we endure trials and challenges, and for many, genuine suffering, he is with us, helping us to endure. He's with us to bring his power, his presence, and his peace, so that we can live for him and witness to him as resurrection people, loving, serving, giving to others, as well as ourselves. However we come through this season, let's be really clear. By God's grace and walking with Jesus, we will come through stronger, more committed to God, more sensitive and available to him, and I believe more committed to one another and to those around us. We'll be sharing with greater clarity, courage, and conviction that Jesus is the hope of the world. An Easter blessing to close. I pray this Easter that you will come afresh to the risen Christ, that you will receive the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit from this moment on, and that you will face every situation and opportunity as carriers of his presence, his power, and his peace. Happy Easter.
What a great reminder from the leader of our movement that we are carriers of his presence. You know, we're celebrating today, and I'm rejoicing in the midst of some confusing chaos and turmoil for lots of people. You know, we've got friends and relatives that are in hospital, some we know that have succumbed to this virus, and yet today we celebrate. And it seems like a parody. It seems like a paradox. We can't get our head around it, but that's who we are. That death may be at our doorstep, but we know that resurrection is around the corner, that we are a resurrected people. And so we're going to celebrate, and we're going to continue to rejoice in all that God is doing. And so I want to encourage you right now. We are a church family. And so I want to encourage you, get the kids around the computer or the TV or whatever it is that you're gathering around. We're going to do some actions together, and we're going to celebrate and rejoice. We're going to sing a song that all of us will know if you're part of our church, a song called My Lighthouse. But we've got some actions that are going to go with it that we can all do along together and have a real family party this morning. So we're going to play this video. I want to encourage you, get your kids in, start doing the actions together. We can't see you, but Jesus can. He can see if you're doing the actions. So let's do them together, and let's celebrate and rejoice this morning in Jesus, who is our lighthouse. Thanks, Phil. Let's play this video.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore.
fantastic. Isn't that just an amazing song? I love the energy in that. I'm sure my kids are dancing downstairs. They just love it. And so it really fits with what we're about to talk about. And John and I, in a moment, we're going to begin just exploring John 20. Now, John, the Gospel of John is just full of light. It points to Jesus as the light of the world. And so fitting that we were able to sing that song. But before John and I do that, I'm just going to ask Alan if he would read the opening section of John chapter 20 for us.
On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him came Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then also went in, saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying.
Fantastic. Thanks, Alan. Well, John, I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to get my breath after that song. I know that as we've been talking about today and this, what an amazing day it is, this celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, and yeah, what an appropriate passage that we've been chatting through some ideas and some thoughts that we've had around this. And I know one of the things we're keen is to invite people in to comment on, on online chat as we're going through it. John, what is the thing that really just grabs you in this opening section?
Yeah, so much as we read this. Yeah, I encourage you, just put in your comments as you're hearing us read this scripture. Just type it in. We'll engage with that and incorporate that into our conversation. But I think there's more running in this chapter than anywhere else in the whole of the gospel. It just shows the momentum of this day and the chaos and the confusion that these disciples were in. And suddenly there's all this running. I've always loved that the person who's writing this gospel, John, just make sure he gets in there first, his little competitive nature that I got there first, Peter was second. Let's just clear that one up.
Something about the name John.
There is the competitive nature of somebody called John. I don't know what that's about. But I love that what I notice is that this is in John's gospel. What we know of Mary Magdalene is from all the other gospels. Actually, this is the first mention of her in John's gospel. And I love that it's the tomb. It's that place that we're introduced to these women that become the apostles to the apostles. And that if we look back at the birth of Jesus, it's Jewish shepherds who were the rejects. It's the Gentile kings that come and gather around. It's Jew and Gentile. It is the rich and the poor. And here we have the women, those that would have been rejected probably by most in society. Certainly, historians tell us there would never have been a voice in a court of law. And yet here we have this woman saying to the other disciples, something's going to happen. She's the first to witness it. And I just love how God works. No one is written off. In fact, he uses those that we think should be written off or society writes off. And actually says, no, I'm going to use them front and center in this.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, there's the power of this story and the way that Jesus redeems and heals and restores. And it's like, I think I'm struck by that verse 9 where they said, "For they didn't yet understand the scripture that he must be raised from the dead." It was like they'd spent this time with Jesus, and it was something that they hadn't quite fully got their head around. And I don't know about you, John, but I'm really appreciative of moments like that in scripture where we see these great apostles that we now understand them as, not quite getting it all the time, but yet there was going to be this moment in just a few minutes, that the revelation would become even greater. And I love the way that Jesus works, but it all centers on this.
As you're saying that, just verse 10, that the disciples went back to the place where they were staying. Yeah. But actually, the growth in our life and what God does is our willingness to show up and to pursue him and to give our lives to him. But we can't force the growth. We can't force the revelation. Jesus brings that and puts that into our life. And so, again, there's no writing off that the disciples go back to the place where they were staying. They go back to almost to those that place of doubt, that place of confusion, and letting Jesus be the one that brings them. I think the church, we can learn from that as we're journeying together.
Oh, absolutely. Because one of the things that I've been struck with this morning, John, is this sense that we don't come to Jesus for what he gives us necessarily in the first instance. Actually, we come to Jesus because of who he is. Yeah. And it's as we come in that posture and this, he almost just, well, he does, he expands our understanding as we come to him as the Lord of life, you know, the great lighthouse who shines the light into our darkness and enables us to see. I think it's amazing. I wonder whether we should just move on into
just quickly say one comment. Eddie's put down that I agree. We don't always understand until later what God is doing. That's a really good point. That it's that faith of journeying through that moment and looking back and saying, God, that's what you were doing. Really good point. Yeah, go on, Ian, carry on.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really, and it's all based upon him, isn't it? It's not on our doing or our understanding. Actually, it's all based on this crucial moment of resurrection that we find here in John 20. So, Alan, I don't know whether you could read the next couple of verses for us.
Okay, so continuing John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and one other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus.
Fantastic. Thanks, Alan. So, John.
Yeah, I think what strikes me, and I'd like to see if others want to bring anything in on this, but this is, you know, we've been talking a lot about this is Resurrection Sunday. This is a party. This is a celebration. But there's space for weeping at the tomb. That's what I see in this, that Mary's still confused. She hasn't heard from Jesus yet, but there's something different. And in that place of resurrection, there's still an emotion. I love in our faith that emotions aren't pushed to the side. Jesus doesn't say, no, you just need to bury them. Just get over yourself. Jesus is the one that wept. He's the one that says, no, emotions are God-given. Let's bring these to this space. And I just think at the moment we're in a time and a place where there's some weeping at the tomb. And the tomb is empty. We acknowledge that, but there's some weeping. And I wonder if, even if I'm saying these words, that there's those that come to your mind right now who maybe have been weeping this week. I think of my son's, my neighbor's kid next door, whose grandfather passed away of coronavirus. And the weeping, you know, a neighbor told us yesterday that he got his toys out that his grandfather had made for them and was playing with them in his bedroom. And I just think there's weeping on this Resurrection Sunday. And I just wonder in this moment whether we bring those people to this place of where death is defeated, but we can still come as we are, and we can bring the weeping and even bring those people we know are weeping right now. And this week, we can, even today, we can be praying for those that are weeping at the side of the tomb, because we know there's a resurrection coming. We know that this isn't the place that it ends, that the light is shining, that with God, it's not that hope is dead, but hope is coming. Be patient and wait, because something is about to happen. And so we can bring those people to that place with us.
Yeah. So maybe it's a good point for us just to maybe pause before we go on in the text and just bring those people to the Lord in prayer in light of what we're talking about, this resurrection power of Jesus. So we may go silent for a few moments. I think that's okay. Just to pause and remember and reflect and pray and bring those people to the Lord now. So Lord, before we move on in this text, we do recognize and realize that there are people in our lives that are worried and anxious. They don't know you. They don't know what's happening. They They're worried for loved ones, or they're worried for friends, or worried for neighbours. And yet, Lord, we are here in this moment reflecting on your lordship over life and death. You are the one who rules and reigns. You are the one who is Lord of all. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bring your life into these situations, into these families, into these people who are mourning and grieving. And they may not understand, but Jesus, I'm asking that in this moment you would bring understanding into their hearts and minds through your people reflecting your grace, your majesty, your light in the darkness. That Jesus, you would be, you would increase your revelation to those who are hurting and mourning this day. I ask these things for you in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
John, just picking up on these few verses before we ask Alan just to read a few more. It's this. This sense that having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. I don't know about you, but I just find that fascinating. I don't know what your thoughts are about what's going on in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a moment we can find it really hard to see Jesus, can't we? We're going to see something in the next verses that I think it will illuminate it even more. But I think, as you see here, the Conway clan have written, sometimes things that look like curses turn out to be glorious blessings further down the line. But in this moment, she's thinking, she's so confused, I think, that she's hearing a voice and hearing a name call. But it's too much chaos. There's too much stuff going on for her to be able to see with clarity what God is doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's... he's different.
Yeah.
So I may be, before we expand on that a little bit, I don't know whether, Alan, you would want to just read in the next few verses that we've got highlighted for today. Verses 17 to 18. In fact, carry on and just go through to 17 and 18 as well. That'd be great. Thanks.
So, woman, Jesus said to her, why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking? Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus told her, since I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them what he had said to her.
What a great moment.
Yeah, it's great. I wonder if we could just carry on reading, actually, because there's some verses in there that I think would be lovely for us just unpacking this next few moments. And shall I read those?
Yeah.
So verse 17 says, don't cling to me, Jesus told her, since I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I mean, there's so much in it, just in those few verses. But Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I've seen the Lord. And she told them what he had said to her. John, I'm just even in these moments, I'm struck afresh with the depth and the richness of this gospel and what it speaks to us as disciples, but also about the way that we think about mission, actually. I know that there's a couple of things that have stood out for us as we've been reflecting on this, and maybe for even particularly verse 17 is quite a key moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Mary's just heard her name called. I just comment on Mary. Davis wrote, Jesus said to her, Mary. Jesus calls us by name. Mary then recognizes Jesus. That moment when Jesus calls her by name,
yeah,
so significant. Jesus has called us each by name, and it's then in that moment that we recognize something, and it's a commissioning, isn't it? It's I'm calling you by name from something, but for something. So it's not just Mary, what are you up to? This is Mary with intent and purpose. And he says, don't cling to me. I think that's a fascinating concept there. Just put yourself in that position. You have just been weeping at an empty tomb. This guy who you think is the gardener is stood with you. You're confused. what is going on. Maybe they've stolen the body. Maybe the body, you know, people were fearful. It says in other gospels that people were fearful that the body would be stolen. So they put guards there to protect the tomb. Maybe they have, maybe they've stolen the body. What is going on? Jesus, you're meant to be the king. You're meant to be the Messiah. And then you hear his voice calling your name. And in that moment, I think Mary, we were speaking about this earlier, and I think Mary knows more than anybody where she's come from and where she is now, that voice of Jesus over her life calling her by name. She thought, I'm never worthy to be called by name by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But here he calls her by name. And he then says, but don't cling to me. Don't hold on to me, because scholars will disagree on this a little bit as to what that actually means. I don't think it's Jesus saying you can't cope with this new resurrected body. Don't forget, this isn't just death to life. This is resurrection. I love earlier on in the passage where it talks about the grave clothes were left, and then the piece for the head was just put somewhere. That shows that the body wasn't stolen. This isn't just a dead body coming back to life. This is like, I mean, imagine like a balloon deflating, you know, it's like that. It's gone and now it's back. It's come back again. This is a glorified, resurrected body. And the headpiece, the piece that they lay over the face, has been left there. This shows that something different is going on here, and his body is completely different. But I don't think it's because Jesus doesn't want us to touch it, because we see later on that he invites Thomas to touch him. So something else is going on here. Ian, what do you think Jesus is speaking into in this?
Well, I think he's saying, I mean, one of the fascinating things is that she didn't recognize the resurrected Jesus. So this is a woman who'd had previous history with Jesus. As you'd mentioned there, he'd set her free from so many things, right? And so she knew Jesus, but post resurrection, she didn't see him or didn't understand who he was, because he was different. And so I think in this moment, saying don't cling to me, don't cling on to the pre-resurrection Jesus, because it's different. Things are different now. He is the resurrected Christ. He's the Lord. He's the sovereign creator. And it's interesting that idea of gardener being reflected in that she thought he was a gardener. You take it back to Genesis 1 and 2. Where does the story all begin? It begins in a garden. The father is in John 15 is referenced as the gardener, and here the resurrected Jesus is likened or thought as a gardener. And so what is he saying? Well, actually, the resurrection is new life. It is complete new life. It's eternal life. It's indestructible life. Why? Because it's Jesus. Jesus brings it, and therefore I think this idea of gardener then is about recreation.
Yeah,
he's recreating something, the new heaven and the new earth, which will be fully established in his return, when he rules and reigns forever. And he does rule and reign forever, and we get to reflect that here on earth as he recreates us in the here and the now. And so I love this interaction between the resurrected Jesus and Mary, because I think it reveals so much about the process of discipleship, but also what he commissions us to.
Yeah, absolutely. And just seeing some comments there of, Mary didn't recognize Jesus, and we can't see him in the midst of so many of our circumstances. And we get confused by what he is and what he's doing. And then Isaiah 43, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I love that this is Jesus fulfilling that prophecy, is saying, you know what? You don't need to be afraid in these moments, because I have called you by name. I know who you are. I know you, and I know what you're going through. I know the circumstances and the situations more than you could possibly know, because I'm God and you're not. And so in that moment, as I call you by name, there's a summoning to something. And you're right. It's being those apprentices of Jesus on the planet now that usher in his kingdom, that we've got a job to do. Before Jesus returns, we've got a job to do to usher in his kingdom. That's not fully here yet. It's here, but not yet. It's there, but not quite. And we get to be people that usher that kingdom in and bring heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And I just think, what an amazing opportunity as the church in these days we get to do that in the midst of people's weeping, stood where they don't understand, and be able to be those agents of a new kingdom.
Yeah, it's amazing. John, I think we're going to need to move on in a moment, because there's some other stuff I know that we want to reflect on. But just to say, you used a phrase earlier in our discussion about Mary was the apostle to the apostles. Mm-hmm. You know, she first took that message. And I think that what you just wrapped up there for us is this sense that As God's people, we are sent ones. We continue to be sent to bear witness to the resurrected Jesus. And Mary bore witness to that fact, wasn't it? That Jesus wasn't there, but he was alive. And that's what we reflect in our sending, is not look what Jesus can do for you, but look at who he is. He's alive. And so, yeah, it's I don't know where we're going next. John, but I'm yeah. sure you've got something lined up for us.
We've got a little surprise for the church, really. Just in vain of what we've been looking at, and that Jesus, I believe Jesus has saved us from stuff, absolutely, but he saved us for something as well. That it's not just, wow, we get to live eternally with him, and as a lot of Christians, you know, we get whisked away to live on the clouds. No, he's called us to a purpose, because he wants to establish the new heavens and the new earth, and we get to participate in that with him right now. He saved us for something. So I asked a few people in church, what has Jesus saved you from, and what has he saved you for? And we've got a video right now from some of the people in church that have shared those thoughts.
Awesome.
Jesus has saved me from three things that came into my mind were my former self, from sin, and from the way that I used to perceive the world. And all three are interlinked, and I think they come down to a self-centeredness.
Well, I've been brought up in the church, been a Christian all my life, as far as I can remember. And so I guess from my experience, I'd have to say that Jesus has saved me from a life without hope, without meaning, without true joy.
Jesus saved me from a life focused on storing up treasures on earth to one of storing up treasures in heaven. From a life focused on my own pleasures and position, to a life of making a difference in the lives of those around me.
Things would be very, very different, and I quite possibly wouldn't be here if I hadn't had that relationship with him and that friendship with him.
Jesus has saved me from a life of low self-worth. He's filled me with his love.
I was in therapy, I was under psychiatrists, I was on a concoction of prescribed medications, lithium, Ceroxat, Prozac and others. My body was sick, I had trouble with my bones, I was mentally unstable. That all began from about the ages of 15 right through to the age of 36 on different levels. Then having a realization of Jesus Christ and his way of doing life.
Again, I was same as Alan, really, been brought up in the church. I believe he saved me from a life without him, without knowing his love and everything that comes with knowing him, really.
I believe Jesus has saved me from the idea that my happiness depends on things in the world, depends on things in the external world, which is a bit countercultural, really, I think, isn't it?
I would say one of the biggest things that Jesus has saved me from is definitely an identity crisis. I definitely live a better life knowing who I am with God in my life.
Because of Jesus, we can live lives of hope, knowing that because we believe in him, we will be with him to the very end.
People may or may not be aware that I'm an alcoholic / addict in recovery, and Jesus saved me from myself. I was on a life support machine. I died and I was resuscitated, and I remember hearing this voice saying, "It's not your time." And then a couple of days later, I went out again. and drank, and I woke up in the night and I was choking, and I heard this voice again telling me, this is not your time. And that for me was God, was Jesus telling me that there are greater things for me.
Save me for? Well, I see it that through that journey, I know that I can come alongside and journey along with others in what he's done for me, and just know that I've been forgiven and he's making me the person he wants me to be.
The two words that came into my mind were for a plan and a purpose, and I'm encouraged by the book of Jeremiah with the verse that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future."
I now have a Heavenly Father who loves me unconditionally, as well as a very well-meaning earthly father who is still hopeful that one day I may have a job with my name on the door and someone bringing me tea on a tray.
I've been a coach, a teacher, a mentor my whole life, and I hope and suspect that maybe in some way or another that Jesus is saving me in order to somehow share. He saved me maybe for the vocation of sharing some of what I've learned through the journey myself.
I really do feel that Jesus has saved me for a time where I will see him move more in this earth, and I will see him move more in my life, more than he already is.
The plans that I feel he has for me are to help other people in recovery, to show people that recovery is possible with Jesus by your side.
By his Spirit, our lights shine before men who are drawn in, and together we stand as a body to lift up his name and to glorify him.
I was spared for a reason. Jesus didn't die so that I could go living any way that I wanted to. He made me. He made all of us for a purpose. He redeemed me, all of us who choose to follow him, for a purpose. And he wants to fulfill that purpose. But it also takes my cooperation with him.
He saved me for taking his love to other people.
I mean, I guess I'd have to say to spread his love that he showed to us, to other people, to people who are in need, to vulnerable people, to show his love and to spread the good news of Jesus, the hope of the world. What about yourself?
Well, you've just pinched my answer.
Video, just hearing the stories of what God has done in people's lives. I'm just so thankful. I was just watching that video, and I just felt I wanted to say to you, church, thank you for being a loved people. Thank you for being a people who are receiving the love of Jesus. Might seem like a really weird thing to thank you for, but freely you've received, freely give. And I pray for each of us that we would get an overwhelming sense of just how loved we are, that this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, we've got a reason to celebrate, that you are a loved people and that Jesus has paid the price. I want to thank you for just being a loved people and allowing that to be what brings us together, that what draws us together and what shines to a world who doesn't yet know. So I want to thank you for those that shared your testimonies. I know they were much longer. We'll try and get those out on social media in different ways, just for people to hear the stories of what Jesus has done in and through our lives and the people of Oasis Community Church. Thank you for being the best church on the planet. You are incredible. So guys, we're going to finish this Easter service together as we've gathered online. We're going to sing Happy Day together. So Alan, will you lead us in a final song? If you're able to give, please do. There's a link somewhere as you're watching. We're helping people through this season. If you're in need, please swallow your pride. Ask for some help. We want to be able to help people. We're doing food parcels, all those kind of things that we're able to do for people. So please get in touch. We're a family and families help each other when we're in need, and we cry for help when we're in need. So do just ask. But if you're able to give right now, please use that link and let's support each other through this and our wider community and let his light shine in the darkness. So Alan, will you lead us as we finish with this song? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So we're going to go out with a bash. We're going to go out with a celebration. And so kids, if you want to get your air guitars out, and adults as well, and we're going to celebrate as we celebrate, go on celebrating Easter Sunday today and the resurrection. So let's go.
Greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, every pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Woo! Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way. Yeah. And oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Hallelujah! Forever I am changed.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Happy Easter, everyone. Have a fantastic day. Enjoy the sun. We get to celebrate because he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. So have a fantastic day. God bless you all.